Hello again and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Adam.
Lori.
Your leg. Tell us what you are just like such a trooper to come today and record.
Yeah.
Tell us about this leg. It's in this brace. It's like he's got it propped up. This is terrible.
It looks way worse than it is, first of all. But yeah, I had knee surgery, had to have a meniscus repaired, had to have 29 microfracture holes drilled in my bone.
Oh my gosh.
To restart my cartilage because apparently I have none.
Oh,
see,
no.
You keep telling me that I'm all young and stuff, but then I have surgery like this and
you are old.
I am old. Yeah.
Yeah, next thing will be the hip replacement, man.
Oh, no, the knee replacement will be next. That's what will happen.
Oh, really? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that is not good news.
Part of life, but this pushes it back some, so hopefully much later in life.
So this brace and stuff, it kind of puts a hitch in running around during the summer naked in your household, right? Which is what we're going to talk about next.
We're going to talk about nakedness in the household, yeah.
Yeah.
Just me and the brace is not a pleasant image around the house. So no,
you
yeah,
and
so
the
no
crutches
nakedness.
Naked in the brace.
Yeah. Wow. That is an image I don't even need of myself but or anybody else.
Right.
But yeah, nakedness in the house. Are you now that your kids have flown the coop, I don't know if this is a if you want to answer
Adam.
This question.
Adam.
Is the nakedness gone up? Is the nakedness gone down?
I got to say, you know, every once in a while there's a kid at home and it's like, I got to remember, oh yeah, grab the robe, you know, because they're coming in and out of the household still. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that there is this sense of freedom when you don't have children in the household to just run around and do whatever you need to do and you don't have to grab the robe and you can.
You don't have to cover up.
Dry your hair, just in the buff, whatever.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Yeah.
But isn't it fun? I mean, I think that seeing your partner, my husband is a big believer in Ben Franklin. And, you know, Ben Franklin did air baths every day.
He did air baths
and
every day?
So he says, you know, I'm a Ben Franklin follower.
Hey, all right. So,
he's into air baths.
That's his cleaning regimen is just to be free. All right. I do think that there's some freedom. There's some adulthood type feelings that come. Like you weren't allowed really to do that all as much
exactly,
as kids.
Exactly. Exactly.
Especially when you got to be an older kid, right? You wanted to do that when you're like my 2-year-old toddler. He wants to be naked all the time.
Yes.
He wants to just strip down as much as possible, right?
I had a friend whose daughter would like dance naked in front of the mirror and it just enjoyed that so much. And, you know, of course we think it's so adorable
until the message
comes that says, you know, stop that.
You
need
up.
To put some clothes on.
Yeah. I feel like the first time when I got my own place, like, that was one of the first things that I did.
I know.
Right? Like, I was just naked. I was naked in the kitchen. I thought that was such a great thing, right?
To be naked, freedom.
A freedom thing to be naked in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Right? And then especially when you get married and you don't have, then it's also, like, then there's just a whole different kind of fun.
Yeah, because there's so much fun to see. I think all of us know there's kind of a taboo about nakedness. Mm-hmm. And so when we see our partner, or when we are personally naked, there's this excitement and fun associated with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of freedom. It's drops the inhibition, right? It's something that you just don't typically do around other people. And so getting to do that with your partner, it's exciting.
Exactly. And I think so many people want that to continue. They want, you know, that freedom and self-consciousness to continue. Things get in the way, right?
Yeah, I like what you said there about it's a lack of self-consciousness, a lack of self-concern or self-awareness. There's no
shame,
right?
There's no shame, and that's how we want sex to be, is we want to enter it uninhibited, without shame, you know, so that we can enjoy each other's bodies and really have a good time and not be, you know, worried about the sense of, you know, a negative review, right?
Yeah, for sure. From ourselves or from our partner.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that's really important.
Exactly. And I think that people stop being naked, you know, for a variety of reasons. I mean, one of them certainly is to protect the children, because we certainly never want the children to come on what they you know, is called the primal scene. We don't want children to come in on us making love, ever.
Right.
Because it really is scarring. And, of course, if it happens, just for the record, what you want to do is put some clothes on right away, walk that kid back to bed and say, you know, we'll talk about this in the morning, you know, and be nonchalant about it. But it isn't something that we want children to see. So we got to have locks on the door. But I think, too, you know, people often, parents often ask us, when should I stop being naked in front of my children? Mm-hmm. And children in general puts the kibosh on nakedness in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can't be naked in the kitchen with little kids around.
No.
Right? When do you say, what's the age? Do you have a particular age? Do you have a particular awareness?
Yeah.
What's your thought? How do you draw that line?
So I'm going on something based with the Lucy Daniels Center, which is a local children's center, and a lot of the material that they publish. And basically they say about age 3 is when parents need to be clothed again. And also about that age is when we stop bathing children together, because it is so slippery and sensuous that we kind of – children are very excited by that. So we want to kind of reduce that. You know, I also say maybe when the children start to notice the difference, you know, when they're saying daddy has a tail, you know, it might be time to start covering up.
Yeah.
But I know that families have differences, so I'm not terribly rigid. And I think some of it depends on the culture that they were raised in and, you know, how their families felt about it and how they both have thought it through. I think one thing is just to think it through.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that children can be sort of overexposed to things, and certainly nudity is one thing.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, same gender feels comfortable being naked in front of same gender for a longer period of time than they do opposite gender.
Yeah,
I mean, I know my kids were really different. I mean, are your kids not like modesty sort of different?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, I think they're at different ages, right? And I think for us, it's when we started to talk to our kids about sex that we started to do things a little bit differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
My kids still, for some reason, want to bust in on the bathroom on me all the time.
Can I please get 5 minutes, please? Right.
So we've had to go to locking the bathroom door.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think when we start to teach boundaries and just what the differences is between public and private, that becomes important, because the kitchen, the living room, the shared family spaces really become public places, public for our family anyway. And so I think in part it's when we start to teach those lessons and start to make the distinction between what you do in private versus what you do in public that it starts to become an important thing. And I think it's also helpful to teach the difference between, for them, that there are certain things that is just for them and that they get to decide what to do with their bodies and that keep that private. And so when that conversation happens, that's when I think we start to change what we're exposing them to.
I also think it's good to tell children, you know, this is mommy's space. You know, mommy needs time in the bathroom to get ready, and mommy and daddy get dressed, and you need to wait outside. We're not yet ready. It also defines a boundary of, you know, this is something that we share, and yeah, we can run around naked with each other, but this isn't something we do in front of you.
That's right.
And all of that I think is good.
Well, there is a loss in that too, I think, because as a couple, you're losing some of that. Your boundary gets smaller, right, and tighter, which can it enforces some. Maybe it's needed, but it could cause the inhibitions to go back up. It could cause that, you know, shame to reenter into that idea of being naked together. I think the overriding thing, though, is just the shame that we get that gets built up in us, either culturally or through religious upbringings or through our own ideas about our own body. I think shame just creeps up a lot, right? And it keeps us from feeling like we can be naked, even when we're with somebody that we love and trust and are having sex with, right?
Mm-hmm. That can shut us down for sure.
Yeah,
probably is the primary reason we get shut down.
Yeah. I mean, I think you would agree too, though, that if we can shed some of that, shame, the freedom that we get in our relationship, it really enhances our sexual relationship.
So if we
right?
shed the shame, we can shed the clothes.
Shed the shame. Shed the shame, shed the clothes. I think that's really accurate. But it's really hard, right? Because it's so ingrained, right? I mean, I think even from, I mean, you think just if you grew up in any kind of religious background, Christian religious background, then you heard Adam and Eve, their shame was being naked, right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was,
which
that
I
was,
don't think that was actually what the shame was about. It was about being seen. But they're covering up with a fig leaf, right, in the story.
Yeah, but we're trying to get back to that, right? I mean, the idea of walking around in a garden naked is appealing, right? As kind of for some people. But anyway, I think there's ways for us to kind of get rid of that shame.
Okay, well, let's come back and talk about that on our next section. You're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. Thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters.
Right? Yeah. Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide to you as our listeners.
If, you know, our work touches you and our work helps you, we would be so grateful for your support. Just go to our website, 4playrst.com, and there you can find a way to support us and you can see our episodes and our blogs. And thank you so much, guys.
Speaking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson from Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Lori, what is an intensive?
So an intensive is 12 to 14 hours of therapy all in one weekend. And it's a way to really make fast progress compared to weekly therapy. I mean, there's just so much more you can get done when you have a chunk of time.
Overcome the challenges in your relationship and your sex life. Learn more about intensives and Awakening Center's other services at awakenloveandsex.com.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. Give us a call at 919-587-8018. Find us online at matthewscounseling.net. We look forward to working with you. And we're back, 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. Lori, we were talking about this idea of being naked, right? And that a lot of times shame gets built up around being naked. But why is it important? Why do we think it's important for people to be comfortable being naked with their partner?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the visual, seeing the other's form and seeing them so vulnerably, you know, builds attachment and and let alone sexual excitement. I mean, that's exciting too. But and the studies also show that couples who sleep naked together actually have more happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
really?
So, I mean, being comfortable naked and nude in front of your partner in two ways, right? Visually and for touch is really important. And I have a lot of patients who talk about the disappointment they feel that after a certain period of time, you know, their partner won't walk around naked anymore, and they miss that sense of, I get to see you completely vulnerable, completely naked. I mean, it is appealing sexually, but it's also something like deeply personal about having one person who will do that with us.
Yeah, because I think when the clothes go back on, right, we get less comfortable with being naked with our partner, like there's a little bit of a barrier there, right? That's not just the clothes. There's an emotional barrier that comes that's going to limit our satisfaction sexually, but it's also going to limit our closeness, right? Not that you still can't be close, but there is a limit there, right? That means that we can go this far, but we can't go as far as me being completely vulnerable with you, right?
Exactly.
Completely naked,
exactly.
Right? There seems to be a parallel between our comfortability being physically naked and being emotionally naked. And when we're able to get there, like we're increasing our happiness is what you said, right? That seems to make sense to me.
And I think there might be some people who are uncomfortable seeing their partner naked, which, you know, that's sad to me too.
Mm.
You know, in some way they have some aversion kind of issue. I mean, certainly I deal with aversion disorders, which are people who do not want to touch their partner's genitals.
Yeah.
And that can get in the way. And that would be a very serious form of not being comfortable naked.
Right. And some people may just have a preference, right? But that's going to be, that to me is going to be a low percentage of people that they can be emotionally vulnerable and it's a preference that they don't want to be naked in the daylight. But I think by and large, right, this idea that we have to combat this body shame that kind of gets just built up in us over time.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of the reason people shut down is the body shame.
Yeah. So how do we fight that? How do we begin to work on that, to decrease that so that we do feel comfortable in our own skin, which I think is the biggest thing.
Well, I think there's two things. One is, you know, a partner's reassurance is really important. Mm. You know, the partner saying, hey, you know, it gives me a thrill when I see you walking around naked. Mm. Or just that sense of, I know for us, you know, it's just fun to be away in a hotel room together and we always seem to get ready naked, you know. Yeah. And it's just like this fun moment that is the continuation of your vacation or whatever. It's freedom.
Yeah, and I think I think for committed couples, right, you're not doing that with anybody else. Like, that's the one person that you're doing that with, and that complete acceptance, right, of the other person's body is just a huge thing that you get to offer to each other as care for your relationship.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. Exactly. You got it. Is the sense of acceptance that your partner gives you that, you know, is really encouraging in terms of being able to just go about your morning routine or whatever, stark naked.
Yeah. And I think that there's verbal encouragement, right? I want to see you naked. I like seeing you naked. I love your body. Would you encourage people to be specific in the parts of the body that they like in their partner?
Absolutely. Yeah. And also there's fun physical things, right? When your partner caresses your waist or gives you a little pat or, you know, something that you know they're enjoying being with you. Mm-hmm. And that's really reassuring.
Yeah.
I think, too, there has to be self-compassion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, in order to get through this world where we are held up against standards of that are supermodels, right? And women who have babies and, you know, 6 weeks later, they have perfectly flat stomachs. I do not know how they do that. My gosh. But some of those actresses and stuff, they do that.
But I think guys are getting that message more and more these days as well.
You're right.
Right?
Yes.
And I think so for everybody, there's a sense of this image and that we have to uphold, and that if we don't uphold it, there is something wrong with us.
Mm-hmm. You have to have abs that show and show the cut, right?
That's right. You got to have,
not
you gotta
that
have
just
the right
show,
cut.
The right, but the show right the build. Muscles below.
That's right. The way that we fight back against that, one way that we fight back against that is really start to addressing those narratives that we have running in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in the therapy world, it tends to be called like positive self-talk. It gets made fun of sometimes, you know, because there's lots of, you know, Saturday Night Live type skits out there that make fun of this. But this is something that's really important, that we cultivate our own self-acceptance. Like, we have to begin to develop narratives that talk back to those messages that we get from the outside world that start to become ingrained in our own head, that we just hear naturally, that run on that loop over and over and over again, that we have to fight back against on a regular basis. And if we don't have the language for that, we get some of that from our partner, right? When our partner says, I love your body, like that we can start to internalize
but
that message
enough,
a little bit.
Right?
It's not enough, right?
And many partners say, look, I tell them all the time, I love seeing them naked, I love their body, and it doesn't penetrate. It doesn't go into their soul in a way that gives them more freedom. So the self-compassion piece.
Yeah, absolutely. And an example might be, I am enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
That may be something, or my body is enough. Or even throwing doubt into the standard when you hear that message of, I have to look a certain way, you start to say, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a reasonable standard, right? Mm-hmm. I am enough for myself. My body is enough for my partner. There is beauty in flaws, right?
This body gave birth to three children. Look
that's
at what
right.
it can do.
Yeah, that's right.
I do tell myself that. Yeah, that's a positive thing.
I think all of those things start to just kind of like, you build your own repertoire of those type of sayings to yourself. They do start to work. I'm enough. I'm okay. I have one client who just said I'm okay out loud every time he got anxious, right? And that became really powerful for him. Like, I'm okay. I'm okay. And the thing about it too is, I think you have to start saying those things to yourself even in the moment. So like when you're being brave and getting naked with your partner in the afternoon with daylight streaming in where you can't make it completely dark, right? You're saying that to be brave and to start to, as you shed clothes, you're shedding the shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that becomes a really powerful thing to be able to do.
And I would say it's not about diet and exercise that builds confidence, because I know scads of people who are really fit who have very little confidence. You know, it's something else that gives them the sense of, because everybody, no matter what, has some flaw, but there's something else that gives them the sense of being able to be free like that.
Yeah, I think that has to come internally, right?
I think it does.
I think most people try to find that in diet and exercise, or they try to find that confidence for their body in other things that are external to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you tell me what you think about that, but I think even if they try to find that in their partner solely, they're going to come away short. right? It is the partner's job to be encouraging, to say those things. But if I am trying to find my, shed my shame through my partner, like eventually that's not going to be enough, right?
Exactly.
It has to come internally from
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You were mentioning some things that I think are very helpful about what couples can do together to start to shed some of that shame. You do the internal work, right, yourself, right?
Yes.
But then with your partner, and one of those things you can step into, right, that skin-on-skin contact, if you're not really comfortable just like walking around naked together, right?
At least be naked under the covers.
Yeah, so
right?
Sleeping naked together has some
cuddling
benefit.
Naked. And, you know, another thing that occurred to me as we were talking, that we can also use arousal to help us become mm-hmm. less self-conscious, because many people, once they become aroused, will shed, you know, the covers or the clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that gives us confidence, actually.
Yeah.
You know, that arousal is a magical thing.
Yeah. I think when you start there, kind of under the covers, right, but you're still experiencing being naked together, like that's what you're talking. That's where it goes into. It can lead into arousal, but it may not have to, right? But that just being naked together, that skin on skin contact that we're talking about, you're accepting of each other's nakedness, and sleeping naked together, I think, gives you some of that, because it's just you're just being comfortable, right? You're
right.
just being getting comfortable with your naked self and your partner's naked self together, and I think it has a lot of benefits that way. And then when it leads to arousal, right, then it just becomes even more so, right? You just increase your comfortability mm-hmm. with that. Is comfortability a word?
I don't know.
I'm just going to claim it as a word if it's not a word.
It's an Adam word.
I like it.
Okay.
So overall,
more comfortability with
more comfortability.
Nakedness.
Yeah,
that's what we encourage you all to have and to strive for.
Shed the clothes, shed the shame.
It'll lead to more attachment, and that's what we want for you. And more attachment makes sex better. That makes for optimal sex, right?
Absolutely.
It's a sense of connection. So there we go. Not to mention the thrills of being naked.
That's right.
So thanks for listening. This is 4Play Radio Sex Therapy.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833, the number 4, play. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.